Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so nice to have you all with us here this beautiful summer day, isn't it? We also extend a special word of welcome to any visitors we have with us. And we will be celebrating shortly in the service the graduation of three of our own that took place this week. So our thoughts and prayers are always with them. Before we begin our service, I'd like to highlight a few announcements. Lemonade on the lawn today. The weather has been cooperating with us, so right after worship, we invite you to stay for some light refreshments and lemonade out here out there, that way at the oak trees. So please stick around for a little while and enjoy some lemonade and fellowship. For those of us who are clergy and delegates to annual conference, there's a pre-conference briefing. That's going to be at 2:30 today at Covenant Community Church. And then at 7 o'clock tonight, we have a church council meeting. So if you're on church council, please try to come. That'll start promptly at 7 p.m. tonight. Also, our Disciple Bible Study will be meeting at St. Paul's this month. We're going to meet from 6 to 8 for that, and visitors and newcomers are always welcome to join us as we study Disciple Bible. Also, the trustees will be meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m., and next Sunday is Father's Day, isn't it? Seems like this calendar thing just keeps going so quickly, doesn't it? You may have noticed on your way in, if you came in a different way than the Beaver Dam entrance, that we've been doing some painting, some much-needed painting, I might add. And so the educational building and this back hallway here are in the process of being painted. Everything's not done yet, so don't worry. We're not going to leave it looking like that. But if you would like to come and help and extend your artistic abilities, I would welcome it, as would many others. If you would, give me a call, either here at the church or at home or whatever, or email me, and I'll try to coordinate everyone for whenever they can come and help. Everybody's welcome. You don't need to be an ace to where you can, you know, edge and cut in without even taping. But if you can work a roller, if you can just show up and help out, you would, and your help would be much appreciated. Gordon, you have an announcement, I think.
Thank you, Curtis. This is one of those mornings that really thrills me to be a chairman of a staff parish committee, because it's with great privilege and honor that I get to talk about Curtis just a little bit. He was chosen as one of 24 clergy from the Florida, North Carolina, Western North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia annual conferences of the United Methodist Church to participate in the Royce and Jane Reynolds program in church leadership. The program costs $10,000, but each participant is awarded a grant to cover that cost. The only thing he has to do is cover his travel expenses, which are going to be fairly minimal because, well, never mind. There will be a series of 4 3-day retreats, and he says, and of course, a bit of reading homework in between over the course of August 2013 through May the 2014. And this is a huge honor for him, as they accept only 6 clergy from our conference for this program. And the bishop makes the final selections of those who have been nominated. At the conclusion of the program, he will be awarded a certificate in church leadership. This is also part of his continuing education program, and I just feel tremendously honored, Curtis, that I can make this announcement, and And I think we ought to be very, very proud of him and his accomplishments in such a short period of time. Thank you so much, Coach.
Well, thank you all. And if there are no further announcements, I invite you to stand for our opening hymn. It's the very first hymn in our hymn book, though it's found number 57. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. It's a little bit long, but it goes very quickly, and it's shorter than the 40 verses that Chuck Wesley wrote to this originally. So let's stand as we offer our praise. I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books for the Affirmation of Faith, which is taken from number 881, the traditional version of the Apostles' Creed. Together, let us affirm our faith in this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And I invite our graduates to come forward. I think all three of you all are in the choir, aren't you?
We didn't say you had to disrobe.
I didn't know it was going to be that kind of church service.
If y'all aren't aware, these three youth, I guess now that they've graduated, we'll call them young adults, have not only graduated, but they willingly come and join the choir on Sunday mornings. So we're going to need some new recruits. That's a plug for Ann.
Yes.
I heard somebody say recently, you mean they don't get like pushed by their parents to do that? And no, they don't. You all have raised some pretty fine youth here. Parents included, I asked Jessica and William to stand and be recognized for those who don't know Samuel's parents. Bob and Rebecca, Devin's parents. And Jeff and myself will claim Caitlin as our eldest daughter. It really is hard for me to let go of these three. It was wonderful to take on a position here to work with youth and have leaders like Samuel and Devin already in place. And so Wiley and Rachel, you got to step up now. We have some old gifts and some new gifts. This is called a gift from the congregation today, and some books I found on the shelf that might as well be given to you. Oh, I can't remember alphabetically. Devin comes next. There you go. So it may be a little dated to read James Moore's 10 top list for graduates, but you might pick something out of that one. The church honors and celebrates you, and I realize we didn't talk. Are we not able to do over here?
Or? Oh, we're able.
Oh, okay. I thought that was going to go earlier.
Great care has been taken with this presentation. In fact, if the choir would like to come down to where you all can see and enjoy this experience as well. We had a top-notch graphic designer to come in, and no, it was just me.
It was blue. It was old blue, sorry. You all can take a seat and look at yourselves
as well.
Yeah,
y'all can take a seat and watch. We have a slideshow from some pictures of that are new, and some that might even have a little bit of age to them.
Trouble.
We certainly will keep you all in our prayers as you move forward, especially those who aren't going to Duke. That's all of you, right? but before you all head off or anything like that, let us pause for just a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the time that Devin and Caitlin and Samuel have been with us, O Lord, as they go on to college and beyond. O Lord, touch them as only you can. Fill them with your spirit, with your love, and with your peace, that regardless of what they encounter, that they will do so with you by their side. We give you all thanks and praise, most gracious Father. Amen. And I invite our children to come forward for our children's... No? Okay.
Thank you.
kids' time? Okay, all right. Well, I invite our children to come forward now for our children's time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, thank you. That tells me that you're really awake and that you're here this morning because I have some work for you to do. Who likes writing? I'm sure you have to write at school, don't you? So, I'm going to give you all something to write on, but I need some help here, please, because I only have... If you'd like to pass those along and take a colour, please. Thank you. I know that you've finished school, but I thought I'd better keep you up with your writing this morning so that you won't forget, okay? Everyone take a colour. Has everyone got a colour? Be as fast as you can, please. Thank you. Thanks very much. Be quick. Quick, quick, quick. Take any color, any. Quick. I should have handed them out to them instead of choosing. We've got enough. Good. Now, what I want you to do is write nice big letters, the best you can. Jesus loves me. Okay, can you write that? J. E. I'm doing it for you. J-E-S-U-S. Loves, L-O-V-E-S. Oh, you're doing it very good. Jesus loves me. Loves is L-O-V-E-S. You can just do your name. Okay, sweetheart, write your name. That's good. Whatever you can do, that's very, very good. Well done. Jesus loves me. So, when you've finished, everyone finished, can you stand up and hold them up and show everyone out there, please? Stand up. Can you stand up? Great. Well done, everybody. Now sit down again. Now I'm going to give you a challenge. Put your marker in your other hand and do the same thing with your left hand as best you can. Just try. Just try. I've had to do that. And Derek thinks I'm pretty good at writing with my left hand. Okay? Just do whatever you can. Not easy, is it?
No.
Okay, well that's what I wanted you to find out, that it's not easy. You know, some people, it's okay, you can finish that. I just wanted you to understand that it's not easy when you're used to doing one thing and you have to try and do it another way. It's really not easy. You know, there's a lot of people that are born without hands, and they can't, they have to find another way, and they find other ways. I don't want you to do this, but they write with their toes, they write with something in their mouth, and people paint too with a paintbrush in their mouth. They do wonderful things. So I just want you to understand that someday you're going to find things that you may think are too difficult for you to do. But I want to read a verse in the Bible for you that tells you that you will have strength to do that. See, I'm having problems this morning because I've only got one hand. Now, this verse is from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I want you to really listen to what I'm going to read. It's chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want you to remember, if you find anything difficult, the graduates are going to find it more difficult when they go to universities, more work to do, and so they're going to remember this little story this morning of people that have to, when they have a disability, that they have to try with something else. And if you ask God to help you, you're going to get the strength to do that. I know we haven't got a lot of time this morning, but I really would like you to stand and sing Jesus Loves Me. Can you do that? Everybody stand. Stand up, I'll help you. Stand up. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Thank you. Now we need to do the bread offering.
Our bread tin offering this month goes to Grace Children's Hospital in Haiti. Our bread tin is a loose change offering that we take up for a different charity each month. And if you have a prayer request you'd like to share with us, then you may place that, fill it out in the bulletin, detach it, and place it in the one of the bread tins as they circulate. And later on in the service, if you have a visitor's card, if you're visiting with us, please just place that in the offering plate as it circulates later on in the service. Now, I invite you to join with me now in our prayer for illumination as printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Faithful Creator, whose mercy never fails, as we listen to your voice today, deepen our faithfulness to you and to your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The scripture lesson this morning is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24, and it is found in your bulletin. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. And as he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward, and he touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These may seem like odd scripture passages to read on a Sunday when we celebrate a big rite of passage for three of our congregation with graduation and all that. It may seem a bit out of place to have a story from the gospel about a funeral and then a story from the epistles about Paul. Not much is known about Paul's early time once he, for lack of a better term, converted. In fact, we're told here that he went down into Arabia and afterwards returned to Damascus. After 3 years, he went to Jerusalem. It's odd, isn't it? There's not much that we could really say about Paul. Paul is one of the most confusing folks in all of Scripture. If you really sit down and try to study what it is that Paul believed, you come up with 50 different beliefs about him, but there is this one thing here that tells us that he spent 3 years in Arabia. What in the world was he doing there? He obviously wasn't very successful there, was he? Because there are no large churches that can point to Paul founding them. There are no epistles that we have that Paul had written to those churches that he may have founded in Arabia. It seems like a big disappointment. And then in our gospel passage, it's a funeral. What in the world could all this have to do with graduation and with a Sunday that we celebrate in the church with summertime and all the new plants and the beautiful blooms and the wonderful weather that's upon us? What in the world is going on here? Well, I would say there is a message that we can take from all of this. Number one, first and foremost, it's that when Jesus shows up on the scene, nothing is the same. Jesus is with us in good times and in bad, at births and in funerals, and everything in between, in glorious times of graduation and celebration, but also in sad times of loss, defeat, doubt, hurt. All of those things, God is still with us. And when God is present with us on the scene, it makes all the difference in the world. Can you imagine that scene recorded in Luke's gospel here? My mother frequently will come up and watch my two daughters whenever I have a funeral and if Jennifer has to work. And my mother, I love her, bless her. You know, and being in the South, we can say that, right? We could say, bless her heart. Or I love him like a brother, but, and you know what's coming next, right? My mother, I love her, bless her. I couldn't get along without her so much of the time, especially with our young kids. And I had a funeral a few weeks back, And it was for a former parishioner down in Salisbury. And I just happened to have both kids. And I said, Mom, I called her up. I said, Mom, can you watch Cora and Lila for me while I have this funeral down in Salisbury? I'll drop them off with you on my way down, and I'll pick them up on my way back to Asheville. She said, oh, yeah, that'll be great, bud. I'll be happy to do that, you know. And so I drop them off, and she watches over them and gives them all sorts of candy and everything else that they want, you know. So maybe, do some of you all do that with grandkids? I can't imagine that being the case. So I drop them off. They get all sugared up and everything like that, and I come back to pick them up after the funeral. And my mother says something that she asks me after every funeral whenever this sort of thing happens. She says, and innocent enough, isn't it? She says, how did the funeral go? Have you ever been asked that question, how did the funeral go? What do you say to that? I mean, most of us, it was good. It was okay. No one ever says, hey, it was really terrible. He's still dead. And you know what? Now he's 6 feet underground. You know, nobody ever says the funeral was horrible. The deceased is still deceased, you know. And yet here in this story, Jesus changes things, doesn't he? Here in this story, we have how did the funeral go, Jesus? Well, it was great. I touched him. I said to him, rise, young man. And he did. And he started speaking, and I gave him to his mother, who would have been destitute without him. She was a widow. She would have had nothing in life. She would have had no one to watch over her. She would have had virtually nothing. It was wonderful. You know, I think whenever Jesus is on the scene, we can echo that same response, whether it's in good times or bad, because when Jesus shows up, nothing is ever the same, and it's always very memorable. The one thing that got me thinking about this is verse 16, fear seized all of them. Fear. I think that's the only right response, isn't it? What would you do if the dead arose at the funeral you were attending? What in the world would you do? I know what I would do. Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, whoa. I know I prayed that, you know, you would bring life to those who were dead and health to those who were sick and strength to those who are weak and all that stuff, but going back to our service last week in the sermon, do we really believe those things that we pray? Do we really believe that God can come in and strip us of our mundane, normal, ordinary course of life? I think He can. Amen. Our hymn is number 338, Where He Leads Me. Let's stand as we offer our praise. Verse 4.
He will give me grace and glory. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I have several additions to our prayer list that I would lift up to you this day. If you could remember Deborah Hawkins' cousin, the family of Daryl Joseph. If you'd also remember Rowan Burke, who is Sylvia's new granddaughter, born on the first of this month, who has had surgery to remove a large mass around her heart and aorta. If you would remember them as well. Also, sad news from our preschool family. Kayla Gregory, who was one of the assistants, she was actually Lila's assistant teacher here at the preschool, had just been recently diagnosed with cancer maybe 2 months ago or so. She passed away this last week. So if we could remember the family of Kayla Gregory. And also Trish Barnes, whose cancer has returned, that's Kitty's sister. Lift her up as well, Kitty. And for the families in Europe who've lost loved ones in the floods there. Draw your attention to all the names on our prayer list and the situations and folks gathered there up in our prayers. We remember all of those. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you all thanks and praise for your presence with us in good times and in bad, through thick and thin, and in times of plenty and in times of want. O Lord, we lift up to you all of those this day who are in need of your healing hand in their lives. As you touched the lives of those so long ago, O Lord, touch us now as well, that your power might be revealed, that your love might be shared, that your kingdom might transform this place for the better. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you this day, O Lord, those who grieve, like the widow who lost her only son in our story this morning. We know you have compassion for us in our suffering. And, O Lord, we give you thanks for your care for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you, O Lord, our world, so full of natural disasters and violence, war, sickness, disease. For all of the places and situations that are in turmoil, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And hear us as we lift up to you in silence those deepest concerns of our hearts. And as your Son taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to take a moment from all that God has so richly blessed us with to share back all that we have received from our Almighty God with our offerings.
Thank you.
And let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, accept these our gifts to you, that they might go to the ends of your kingdom. For we offer them in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to remain standing for our last hymn. We'll sing first and last verse of number 370, Victory in Jesus. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.